check this out.
Oh, yeah.
You are now about to experience the side effect.
When you're done with all of your hatred and your journey towards the dark side will be complete.
The latest in pop culture, entertainment news, movies, TV, reviews, and more.
Zaccotti.
Here are your hosts, Val, Roris, Chris, Tarzan, and Kevin.
The Side Effect.
Hey guys, and welcome back to another episode of the Side Effect Podcast. I am Chris from the channel Smokescreen. I'm here with my distinguished co-host, Tarzan from Trial by Trivia, Kevin from the Bat Productions, Bitch from...
Finish it. You have to finish it now.
Actually, we're not
Keep
even going to tell you the URL.
Keep
you
going,
already know.
Chris.
Okay. All right. Bitch from the channel Rorist and Val from Because Geek. And this week, we're going to be discussing Game of Thrones Season 7. Winter is finally fucking here. So let's jump right in and talk about that, as well as Spider-Man Homecoming. And I know we want to get the elephant out of the room, Kevin, with the whole Sansa scene.
Oh, my God. That sounded evil.
Finally. You know, Chris has got to be so excited. I have my foot in the water of Sansa, you jerk. I'm sort of on board of that right now. I don't know if we want to dive so much into it right now, but let's tackle it right away. Okay, you're right. This past week in episode 1 of Game of Thrones, Sansa deciding to step up when Jon's trying to make a decree about what's going to happen with Carhold and Last Hearth. And she argues with them repeatedly. And I've seen people on Twitter defend Sansa's behavior as if it was okay. And they're like, how could Jon shout her down like that and embarrass his own sister and someone that is really important in Winterfell, who should be the rightful heir to Winterfell, mind you, of the people in the room.
From a feudalistic standpoint, she was correct in what she said. She wasn't correct in talking over the king, and she wasn't correct in this is a different set of circumstances. This isn't about feudalism right now or how the proper order of things. This is about the others are coming. We need to band together. We're not punishing each other right now.
Exactly. That's what I told Kevin earlier. Under normal circumstances, she would be correct, but this is not a normal circumstance.
No, not at all. How about we punish whoever's left alive at the end of this? There you go. There you go, Sansa. Because it's her bastard brother, her bastard half-brother in her eyes that she doesn't really truly respect. So that could be another reason for talking over. Plus, she wants power. But I don't necessarily think that was a power play on her part. I think that's legitimately what she thought should happen, because it should in their society. But she doesn't understand. It's kind of like her saying that Cersei's the bigger threat than the Night King. It's like, no. You have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, she didn't say that. She just said that, you know, she wasn't, because Sansa is trusting the wall so much. She's like, well, we've got the wall. We can go deal with Cersei first and then deal with the White Walkers.
Yeah, that's what she's saying, that Cersei is a bigger threat right now than the Night King, because the Night King's trapped behind the wall. But that isn't how that's going to go down. Did you also notice how many times they talked about they're safe because the wall's up this episode?
Oh, yeah. That
foreshadowing the hell out of that. Oh, my God.
Oh, absolutely.
Beating us over the head.
I know. The wall. The wall.
Marwyn said, he's like, oh, it's been up for ages. The long night's come for, you know, several times, and the wall still stands. Like, yeah. It's trying to, a false sense of security. But I have to go back on the Sansa thing there.
Well, I'll just say, I'm glad they had the conversation afterwards, though, where she was like, you know, you're pretty good at this, you know, leading shit. So it made me feel a little bit better about it.
Yes. And that's exactly one of the reasons why I think she's gone about things the wrong way. But like right there, she's made it pretty clear that Jon should be the guy who's the monarch. Like, she's not actively trying to steal his throne. I think the problem is, and this actually, now I remember what I was trying to say. The problem is, and I posted this on Twitter, is that I think Sansa for the first time has finally gotten power in her position since season one. First time she's had any power at all, really, except for when she hung around with Littlefinger and he still made her do whatever. And I think she's been around this political landscape in King's Landing, just constant political change for most of her life on the show. And I think she's so eager to implement what she's kind of learned in a way when now that she has a chance to actually do it. And her and Jon are on different speeds in the political landscape and how they want to handle things. John hasn't been a part of that game for the most part. I mean, sure, there's some stuff at the wall with Lord Commander, but it was a miracle he won. He didn't like outwit anyone or outposition himself or anything like that. It was just through his deeds. And I think Sansa's just like, she's too eager. She needs to pump the brakes. That's why so many people are accusing her of being very Cersei-like right now, because she's not thinking properly.
Oh, hey, are we talking about that interview she recently did where she said she is one of the best manipulators in the Game of Thrones right now because she's learned from all her captors and stuff?
She said that?
Yeah. Okay, so Sophie did an interview, and she said that she is one of the best manipulators now. I think it was in my recent news video I talked about that. She's one of the best, if not the best, because of her captors and everything she's absorbed. She said that her character has absorbed everyone she's been with and kind of has been like elevated up, and that you have to watch it this season because she's really good at using people or saying what they need to hear. So I got a little fearful that she was buttering John up by saying, oh yeah, you are really good at this as a...
Oh, damn.
A false sense of security.
Yeah, but I actually took that as a genuine remark, but maybe I'm really good at being manipulated, so I don't know.
See, I agree with you, because I mean, like, the comments to follow were totally logical, where she's like, listen, I love Rob and Father, but you need to be smarter than them. You need to not make these same decisions.
Oh my God, I could just see Ned Stark rolling over in his grave like, I died for you, you fucking bitch. Fuck you, Sansa.
And she was right. He needs to not make decisions like they would and be totally Stark about everything.
Well, otherwise, wait. So you shouldn't tell your enemy your plans before you do them?
It has been discovered that that's a really bad strategy.
Damn. Did you guys notice that the fact that John was saying that you can't judge... What was it? No, I won't punish a son for their father's sins.
That was definitely one with him being a bastard, how Kat constantly punished him for supposedly his father's sin, definitely.
Okay, sure, yes. I was going to go in a completely different direction.
Oh, about how he's going to be more forgiving of Dany for what her father did?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. I just thought it was something definitely John would, given that he was punished for what Ned did by Kat.
Yes, that makes sense.
That, and how other people view him as a bastard. You know, you're punishing the kid for something the father did. That's not fair. But then you're right. When everyone next episode is going to be like, oh, you can't trust a Targaryen because her father was batshit crazy, he's going to have the same reasoning.
So anyway, what did everybody think about Game of Thrones Season 7 in general?
No lines for Tyrion.
Well, I guess there's that. Okay. Yeah, I guess so. The whole Daenerys thing.
Now, I thought Dany's was okay. I said in my video review, they could have changed the music to make it a little more, you know, emotional or something.
Mm-hmm.
It was okay. It wasn't horrible. But it was after 25 years, I just expected to have more feels about it. But you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. I'll try to...
I don't know. For as many photos as we got of, you know, the walkway up to Dragonstone... I guess I expected it to be longer or for us to see more shots of it. But then when it was just like a little 5-second clip, I was like, huh, that's the problem with leaked photos. It makes it seem like a bigger deal than what it is.
Yeah. I mean, I can only defend it a little bit by saying that although it was disappointing, the cool part was Daenerys totally skipping the throne and going straight to the war room. That was cool because
I thought that was pretty badass too. She looks at it and moves on.
Yeah, because people were writing, like I saw, you know, on social media that said, you know, why'd she do that, or is that a superstition related to like the vision she had? And I was like, I don't know if that's the case. It's just she doesn't really care about that throne. She cares about Iron Throne.
But why would she even sit on it? What's she gonna do?
Exactly.
Would she sit on there and be stared at by people? It
could have been a symbolic thing of sitting on the throne, but I said that in my review. I liked how she knew there was still work to be done, and she didn't need... She will be on the throne next episode for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But
right.
Yeah,
I mean, I got the feeling, I guess they were trying to portray, was that she was kind of retracing the steps of Aegon. So that's what I got the feeling of. And so her sitting on it could have been something like that. But I mean, I liked that she went past it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it would have been dumb if she sat on it.
Yeah.
Like, that wasn't the time for her to sit on it. I don't know. I feel like I hadn't thought about that at all, because it just seemed like the obvious thing to do to walk past it. It's not like it didn't mean anything.
Well, it's almost the same as when she grabbed the sand on the beach. You know, she's taking it all in and retracing Aegon's footsteps and all that stuff. So it would have made sense for her to sit on it or rub it, or, you know what I'm saying, touch it.
It's caress it.
Rub one out on it.
Oh, God.
Oh, Jesus.
Sorry.
I'm uncomfortable.
Darcy was so late with that.
Delayed, wow.
Yeah, I mean, it's a symbolic thing. I mean, if she sat in it, great. I mean, it was kind of symbolic, not symbolic. I guess it was straightforward, the fact that she just went straight to planning. Just, you know, gives you an idea of exactly where her mind's at. So if she had sat on the throne, great. It's like reclaiming her seat, you know. If not,
okay, yeah, man. This is what I'm curious about. What was Tyrion thinking during this whole thing? So he's silent on the boat ride, silent while she's rubbing it out on the sand, silent while they're walking up, silent in the throne room. Like, what is he thinking this entire time?
He's the silent type.
Yeah, he's just taking it all
he's
in
the
too.
Silent type.
Yeah.
Val, look at you, you little jester.
I mean, in my case, if I'm following someone around that's like quiet and like groping the sand and stuff, I'd be like, should I talk now? Should I say something? Should I words of comfort or like, oh, we're finally back here? I don't know. I'd be nervous the entire time.
That's probably it. No one knew what to say to her at that moment. Like, it's just like, what do you say?
Right. And you saw Missandei grab Grey Worm and like he was going to follow her, and she's like holding him back.
She's like, no child. Yeah. Back up.
It's like Tyrion was about to say something, and then bam, it's over.
The other thing that bugged me was the shit with the wall, with Bran arriving at the wall. They didn't even address the mark, didn't even bother to check his frostbite. I don't know.
No, that's true.
It seemed awful quick to me. Like, address it at least. We're all sitting here thinking it's still marked or whatever.
Yeah, sitting there like, didn't he just do like something really monumental and they're kind of brushing over it? Like, by just going through the wall?
I figured it just wore off.
Yeah, I like how, though, that they're like, how do I know that you're a Stark, and he just gets into this fucking creepy shit, and they're like, yeah, okay, he's super moody and dramatic, he's related to Jon, and just lets him pass.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the blood of Jon Snow if I ever saw it. Come on in.
Yeah.
But I don't know, the mark last year was a big deal. At least if you're not going to use it as something that makes the wall come down at the end of season 7, at least address it and say something that it's worn off, or it only works because he has to touch you from where you are in a vision or wherever the case may be, but at least fucking address it for you.
I don't know. I still have hopes that they'll go back to it. I mean, how inconsistent could they be, right?
Oh, right. Right.
No, I think they should, but it's like you would think they would do that before actually going through the fucking wall, is all I'm saying.
Yeah, no, forget it. They're not going
to. With this disappointment thing, are you tying in also like Bran's vision from right before, or are you separating them?
No, just the aspect of the mark that we've all been thinking about since last year in Bloodraven's Cave.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it just seemed like too big of a thing. We all know the wall's coming down. They foreshadowed that, like we talked about a minute ago, but they didn't bother to mention the frostbite.
Okay, maybe my least favorite part. I'm starting to feel really bad for Lord Glover. I feel like he gets a lot of abuse. And maybe every time Lyanna opens her mouth, he starts to shake a little bit. Maybe pee himself
true.
A little
I agree.
Bit. Because he's like, oh, shit.
That's right. I was saying in my live stream, like, why was she so aggressive, man? That was a bit too
Come
much.
On, dude.
It was, and he can't say anything
That's
back.
That's what Lyanna's been
since
she's been
on
screen.
Yeah.
Like, she's...
Everyone's fucking afraid of that
and he can't say anything back, or otherwise somebody said, what, are you going to pick on a little girl? And I was like, Jesus.
But, like, seriously, though, when was the last...
I would.
Was she ever...
She probably fucking shanks people in the dark. Look at those eyes. She's fucking scary.
She shanks people in the lake.
Yes. Did you see how quick he nodded? He's like, dude, I don't want no... There's no problem here. There's no problem here. He sat right back down.
Yeah, but it's like, she was like, well, I don't need your permission. And he's like, he wasn't going to tell you not to. Like,
calm
down. He's
his own granddaughter. Yeah, he's like, hey, I don't want my little granddaughter to have one. He wasn't saying anything about you.
I don't know. I understand that she's really cool and she's awesome and all that, but I felt like that was a bit too forced. Like, he was like, they just... I don't know. They
wanted
they
to recapture
a line from
last season. Yeah, they wanted to recapture her intensity from last season and give you know, the badass line again.
It didn't feel very natural. Like, it didn't flow very well, that scene, I felt.
Yeah,
but
I don't know if maybe it felt weird too, like when she's like, oh, I'm going to fight because being a girl, and then like Sansa and Brienne were like smiling and kind of like nodding at each other, I'm just like, ah, stop. I know what you're doing, show writers. I know what you're doing. Just fucking stop.
Yeah, yeah.
I gotta tell you,
I hate being pandered to as a woman. I hate being pandered to. Just stop.
I definitely think you can make an argument about the pandering thing for sure. But I didn't have a problem with how she said it or anything, because that to me is like, that's the only way she's communicated.
Well, no, maybe we can't all agree. The shit montage was kind of gross, right?
Oh, yeah, it was.
Nah.
No,
I thought it was funny as hell.
You're a
I
dirty
thought it was
girl.
Great. He was scrubbing the floor. he was cleaning out food and shit and shitty food. I thought it was fucking outstanding.
And shitty food.
Yeah, I'll pass on that. Perfect.
Pass. Hard pass.
We don't never need a repeat of that. I could even handle the autopsy one with the dead dude open and then seeing his dead penis and balls. I was like, that's okay. Whatever.
Oh, yeah, I saw the penis on the third watch.
The third watch?
I'm sorry, I don't know.
Let's talk about Arya and her serial killer eyes. Anyone want to start on that? Because that was an awesome scene. That was an amazing way to start the episode. But my God, her eyes, when she took off the mask, like how dead they were. I was like, holy shit, girl.
Oh, yeah, it was good. So I will give a bit of a shout out to Charlie in Westeros, because he posted a picture on Instagram before the episode, and the picture was of Game of Thrones wine. And he posted a picture, and the caption actually said, "It's time to pick our poison." And holy shit, I was like, holy shit, Charlie. Oh, you called it, man. You called it.
Yeah, and anybody catch the little Arbor Gold shout out to season one with the Dany assassination attempt?
I did not. I did not notice that.
Oh, I was thinking Arbor Gold of fake Aegon, that story. That's where I always go with that. No, no one? Fine. Fuck you. Fuck you all.
Sorry.
I also like how she used Winter Came as a threat, playing on her house words of Winter
is
coming.
Yes, the way it used to be used. Yes.
Yeah.
That's the way it passed. Winter has come for House
Frey. It's like when Rob told
Rob used the same one. Tell Tywin Lannister, winter is coming for him, 20,000 soldiers.
If he really shits gold.
Yeah, a dead dude, playing a girl, playing a dude. Yeah, it's pretty good.
It was amazing just seeing, because that actor did have to, okay, I'm a little girl, I'm a girl who is pretending to be me, my character, but at the same time, a little delighted at the fact that I'm about to kill all these people. Like, he did a damn good job.
Filch did great.
I love the opening, the cold opening, so to speak, and how they jump straight into it. And it wasn't a recap episode like episode 10.5 like last year.
Yeah, can anyone explain to me why people are so mad about the Ed Sheeran cameo? Because I thought it was to humanize her and show that she wasn't a straight killer yet, that she actually could have compassion and restraint.
Absolutely.
But
it
like,
was. Yeah, it humanized the Lannister soldiers and made, they were talking about home. It made Arya start thinking about home. I didn't have a problem with it whatsoever.
Dude, I'll tell you. I was going to say his hair, but not because it was red. Okay, not because it was red.
Oh,
all right,
you like, racist people were complaining. Bitch.
No, shut it. People were complaining that he had too modern of a haircut for medieval times.
What?
Really?
That's what they were complaining about.
Holy shit, people!
And so they didn't fit in. They didn't
Can
feel
I live
like he belonged
their lives,
in there.
The lives of these people. That's what bothers them. Can I have their life? I will trade you. I will trade you.
It was just wild, raggedy hair. Who gives a damn? I mean, there's bald people, there's fucking long hair, there's short hair, there's curly hair.
You're telling me that if you're a bored soldier and you don't have a mirror and something to, like, cut your hair, you wouldn't have done something? Like, there's so many explanations for that. Is that
you
really
guys are taking this way too seriously.
Is that really the... Well, you know, I've heard... Keep hearing people bitch about how distracting it was. And I don't know, I've never had a cameo in a movie just or a show distract me to the point where I'm taken out of the universe.
Yeah, it did not affect me one bit in that way. I was like, wow, it's Ed Sheeran, but I got over it really, really quickly when I saw Arya looking for swords so that she could figure out how easy it would be to kill them, then hearing about their stories. I got over it super quick, and it's been really depressing for me, because a lot of Game of Thrones fans are also in a way, taking sick pride in the idea that they've given Ed Sheeran so much crap that he, like, supposedly, like, took his Twitter off line for, like, a day.
Oh, yeah,
it's, like, such a big, like, point of pride now. People love the idea that they hate this, and I don't get it. I only react this way because so many people violently hated it.
Yeah, people really get off on the fact that they can take someone with power or money and make them hurt or uncomfortable. It feels good. It makes you feel better about yourself from their perspective. But yeah, that's bullshit that they went after him. But
what did everyone think about the hound reading the flames?
I am happy that he was able to get that close to the fire because it shows that part of his rebirth in a way that he's moving past the traumas of his childhood. Because I was surprised he even got that close.
Val disagrees.
No, I don't disagree. No, that's right. Okay, I thought that was a bit... he wasn't shocked enough. I feel like he should have been, like, you're seeing something in the flames. That would mess anyone up for the first time. Like, you wouldn't be so calm telling someone else what you're seeing. You'd be so, like, freaked out that you're seeing something that words wouldn't be able to come out of your mouth. It just wasn't believable enough.
Well, I don't know. Opinion. They really didn't show him right after the fact. They showed Beric, and then the next scene was him outside burying the kid and all that.
No, it was... Well, no, I mean, like, as he's telling Thoros what he's seen.
Like, in the moment, like he should have been more shocked, is what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah.
I get it. I mean, I think part of
I'm nitpicking a little bit.
I mostly agree, but I think part of the reason why he wasn't is because I think he was genuinely confused. Because he's doing a life-altering thing right there. He's always, you know...
Yeah.
He's always basically, in so many words, forgotten the gods, I think. There, he's actually being exposed to some... truth of it when he's confident it's bull. I think part of it's just confusion in his brain. The wheels aren't turning fast enough for him to be shocked.
Well, no, but that's what I'm saying. They wouldn't be turning fast enough for him to say words or put words together. Like, I just, yeah.
Well, Stannis saw something in the flames and he wasn't freaked out, but of course, Stannis is really never freaked out about anything. He has no emotion at all.
Yes, fucking Stannis.
Didn't he just start, like, tearing up?
A little bit.
Like, I just remember him looking into the flames again and, like, as if it was like, it's so beautiful. Like, for some reason I remember that being his reaction. Okay.
So, how cool was it in this episode that, do you remember when he originally saw the farmer with Arya and the farmer talks about how, you know, eventually the gods are going to get vengeance for the phrase breaking guests right?
Yeah.
And then in the beginning of the episode, we have Arya doing that, finally getting vengeance in a way for the gods, and then the hound goes back to the house in that same episode. I thought that was really clever.
It was cool.
Yeah, I did too. I agree.
And the ale thing, did you notice that? That was also awesome. How the
hound
asked the farmer, do you have any ale? And he's like, oh no. And then when they went there in this episode and asks Thoros, maybe, or Thoros says maybe they have some ale, and the hound's like, they don't.
They don't.
I was like, yeah, it was so good.
It was
a good time with Arya and the Hound, and I loved how he went out there even after that, and he was trying to remember the prayer of the seven.
I know.
He just says his own damn thing.
Didn't he get like two guys?
It was awful damn sweet.
So cute.
I'm sorry you're dead. It fucking drops the shovel, walks off.
So I wanna.
Man, that's the best we'll ever see from him.
Probably. I do want to throw in my, like, just absolutely, I admit, it has no leg to stand on. It was just something I thought about when the Hound was looking into the flame. It kooky thought. I know you all are going to give me crap for it right away. Which is, when he was looking into the flame, I was thinking, when was the last time he really looked into the flame? And that was, well, I guess it was the fight against Beric. But I was thinking about Battle of Blackwater Bay. And when he saw that dude, like, lit on fire, he, like, froze. And he seemed shocked and stunned. And I was like, did he see something in the flame that night? Is that why he just changed his whole trajectory of life? Because he saw something that night?
Goddamn. Where's my tinfoil hat?
Yeah, I for someone who hates these tinfoil theories, I was just sitting there thinking, I was like, because when you look back at it, like, the Hound wasn't, like, unfamiliar with, like, battles and killing and all that, and seeing, you know, fire around him. He doesn't like to touch it, but, you know, around him. And for some reason, that night at the Battle of Blackwater Bay, he stared at a dude who was on fire running, and he was stunned, shocked. And I couldn't figure out why. And then right after that is when he did the whole F the city, F the king, F the Kingsguard, and then left. He changed his whole life that night, and it seemed like it started with that.
I just figured it was because of his childhood trauma.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting idea, but I think when he walked up to the fireplace with Thoros, he was like, I'll see, you know, like he had never done it before. Right? You would think he would think back to something like that.
You would.
Well, actually, I was just about to say the opposite. Is like I'll give you that. It kind of explains how he. It didn't seem like he was seeing it for the first time because he wasn't as shocked as I would expect him to be. So
it's possible.
Oh, see, it's starting to fit.
Starting to fit together. All right, I'm just gonna go sort through the text and pull some quotes. Anything yeah. related to fire.
Make
sure you distort the facts to fit your theory. Fuck up the timelines, and there you go. You got it.
I'm gonna go scour Reddit real quick, see if anyone else commented, so I can just take that.
500,000 views right there.
That is true. You'll be at 50,000 subs in no time.
Oh, easy. My gosh. Yeah, I know it's totally tinfoil and all that kind of stuff, but I was like, man, like the Hound is like. I mean, it's in my belief, and I'm sure some of you, if not all of you, think that if, you know, the Hound dies and he has to kill the Mountain to do it, and like it'll be by fire.
You mean when? I'm sorry, when that happens, when
Clegane Bowl happens.
Thank you.
I always believe that, or I believe now that the Hound is going to have to use fire to kill the Mountain, but unfortunately he's going to have to kill himself, facing two of his biggest fears at the same time. And like the Hound is kind of defined by. You know, his relationship, not defined, but that's a big part of his identity. And for some reason, you know, now he's with, like, the onset of a bunch of fire worshippers. It'd be intriguing if, oddly enough, the Lord of Light's been trying to communicate through fire this whole time. And he appealed to him once.
He's been touched by fire. Oh.
It's just...
Well, that's what I thought.
Kevin.
That's what I thought, too. It's like the...
Nope, this is probably... Kevin's theory. Vale, don't try to steal away his...
Hey.
Yeah, back off.
Hey.
This is all Kevin.
I'm the only one who ever thought of this ever.
We're going to watch you. And if you're going to put this theory on any of your videos, Vale, we're going to flag it. This is
Did
Kevin.
Did you just say a PBS infomercial say sharing is caring?
Sure did.
Thomas Edison said that, too, about Tesla.
So, are you guys going to be grown-ups for a little bit?
Can't guarantee that. Okay.
I'm joking.
Go ahead.
But anyways, I was going to say that, yes, I did think that R'hllor could have been following the Hound throughout his whole life. And yes, trying to communicate with him, but not trying to communicate with him, but just like he chose him. Well, I mean, he, if you can say that R'hllor is a he. But
yeah, she's racist and sexist.
There is no R'hllor.
That is the what?
There is no R'hllor. There's no gods in this story.
Yeah, none. What? They're all robots. It's Westworld.
They're all Russian spy robots.
What are you saying?
Okay, so overall, that's the kooky theory I thought of when I was watching. I was like, oh my God, this is great. And I realized I had no leg to stand on if anyone pushes me on it. So I'm going to abandon it. But it's interesting.
But you guys are not even getting close to the coolest thing out of everything. All right.
What's that?
That is that it would be the best thing if the Hound's arc gets flipped on its head. And yeah, when he was a little kid, he got burnt by fire and he got traumatized by it. And then he fucking gets brought back by fire. How about that?
That'd be crazy.
So wait, are you saying that the whole thing of talking to Beric, what his purpose was, is that the Hound is going to go beyond the wall, die, and Beric is going to give his life to bring him back?
The Lord of Light is not done with him yet.
That would kind of be a, I don't know, would that be an icy thing or a fiery thing?
What icy thing? Dude.
Ice white or fire white?
I've been wondering what the hell would happen to someone who gets brought back by fire and then gets brought back by ice.
Whoa.
Does something cool happen?
Jon Snow.
We don't know.
Oh Maybe. My God, now I want Jon to die again and be brought back by the others.
I wonder if he can like overpower it. And it's like, no, I'm on the good side, and then turn somehow.
No, he's already a fire white being controlled by somebody else, obviously.
So, but if he dies and he's brought back by the others, what if he's a fire and ice white?
Exactly. The Song of Ice and Fire.
Yeah, it's in him.
Yeah, so my favorite part of the episode, I was so excited when Euron Greyjoy went to talk to Cersei. I thought it was so... awesome. I like that he changed up his look. He looks a little bit better, in my opinion. When he put that joke in there at the end, and he's like, oh, I always wanted to marry a queen, but here I am with 1,000 ships and two good hands. And then,
it was the best.
And then he just looks at Jamie.
I love this fucking Euron compared to last year. I thought this was Euron was fucking great. A little closer to book Euron.
Miles better.
Fucking that's psychopath wild. That loves fucking killing people and manipulates motherfuckers. What did you
say? Dude, that's mild, though. It's so
killing
good.
Greyjoys during the rebellion. Watching Jamie do that was like a dance. He's like, I was killing your own people. He's like, it was crowded.
It's getting crowded. Oh my God, it was so perfect. Yeah, I loved all his jokes. It was so good.
Yeah, that's a huge difference from last season. So I'm actually excited about him.
Oh my
now.
Gosh, he's so amazing. And that, I mean, that whole gift thing he was talking about led to a lot of, it leads to a lot of speculation. Apparently there's, you know, a leak about it and stuff like that. But there's a lot of possibilities if you don't already know the answer, I guess. So I thought that was really intriguing.
Yeah.
And I'll just say that without, you know, acknowledging what's true and what, or what's right and what isn't, is I'll say for me personally, the comments I've been seeing a lot is one of three. First one, it's either Dragonbinder, a horn from the books, or Tyrion, obviously, because he talked about, you know, killing your own brother and talked about the Sand Snakes, or at least Ilaria, because, you know, obviously they're responsible for the death of Marcella. And, you know, Cersei would really like that head in addition to Tyrion as well. So a lot of cool options out there for this gift. It's cool that Cersei rejected him, because I think it kind of seems tactically stupid.
She wants started to fuck smiling. Him
so hard. Oh my God. Wants that dick so bad. She's heard about that huge Euron dick. You could tell. And that conversation, like towards the end, even Jamie was looking over like, what the fuck? And she's like, yeah, I'm going to have a piece of that.
Basically.
It's going to happen.
Yeah. She already falling for it.
She was playing hard to get, for sure, yeah.
Being with the most beautiful woman in the Seven Kingdoms, and I have two good hands, and his look over at Jamie, I was like, oh, what? Shit.
But he fucking roasted Jamie right there in front of everybody and dropped Jamie the fucking mic and walked out that bitch.
And at the same time, he was saying basically, yeah, I know you two were lovers and we're fucking each other. Like, he was just doing all of this at once. And goddamn, I think Cersei respected that.
Oh, yeah.
And I love how Jaime just kept trying to, like, chop him down. And he didn't give a shit. He's like, I'm not falling into your trap.
He kept hyping Euron up. He was like, oh, I remember the last time you tried to be a monarch, you lost badly. Remember that time you went to, I think it was Lannisport or Castle Rock, I forget which one it was. And you burned down our whole fleet in the beginning. And he was like, yeah, I remember that. That was awesome. Thank you for reminding us that I'm a badass.
Yeah, dude, and I think there was one thing I said in a podcast earlier that I got wrong. I thought it would be Jamie, the one that was standing in front of the mountain when the mountain was like being all like imposing. But it was actually Euron.
Imposing.
Like, yeah, I don't know. Is that the wrong
No, that's
word?
Correct. It was just funny the way you
just standing there being tall and stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I thought that was funny, though. They smiled at him. Euron smiled at him and back the hell down.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What about other people? What do you think was a particular favorite moment of the episode for yourself?
Oh, can we still talk about how Cersei is totally going to do? have we been talking about her and Jaime, like, that whole thing? Have we talked about that yet?
What, the dynamic?
Yeah.
I loved in the map room where Cersei is just repeating what Tywin said to Jaime. You know, we could build a dynasty that lasts for 1,000 years. And he's like, dude, what the fuck are you talking about? We have 3 kingdoms at best. We don't have food. Like, we're so screwed. And you're sitting here thinking all we have to do is take these kingdoms and we're all set.
It's true. That's what's so interesting and ties into what we were just talking about with the whole Euron-Cersei conversation. Like, Cersei just says, okay, we need to take all these things. And Jaime's like, by the way, we don't have any allies. We only have, like, 3 kingdoms. And when Cersei specifically brings in Euron to form an alliance and to help, she rejects his proposal really for no reason. For reasons that she already knew before he got there. So, like, you have to think about the tactic she's taking right now within that conversation, or she's just absolutely stupid. I mean, it was all laid out in the map room. We need Euron. Yeah. And her reason not to do it is, like, you killed your own brother. You're not trustworthy. She knew that before you arrived in King's Landing.
Yeah, I think she was playing the game, though. She knew he had do something for her.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I thought actually
filling him out a little bit.
I initially thought maybe she was being soft and she was trying to take pity on the fact that she knows Euron just schooled Jaime and like emasculated him entirely. So I thought maybe she was throwing him a bone and didn't just say, yeah, let's marry and bone. I don't know though. You're probably right on that one, Chris.
Can I throw a crackpot theory out?
Yeah.
Okay.
No.
So
no.
Now I sort of want, because Euron is a younger sibling, for those two to get married, they have to get married. Like, he does something, he brings back the sand snakes, and she's like, damn, I have to marry him now. That was a pretty awesome gift. And then when Dany, it looks like Dany's actually going to take over and win, he's in bed with Cersei, and then he just chokes the fuck out of her and kills her because he wants to give her as a gift to Dany as like, hey, I killed, just like the, you know, Jaime did, killing the Mad King. Like, hey, I killed this person for you, so we should be on the same side and allies now. I could just see Euron doing so. It's not going to happen, but I could see Euron doing that.
Totally.
And I think it'd be so awesome.
Holy shit, man. It's pretty sweet.
Boy, yeah, I think that's in the top three guesses about the Valonqar thing is Euron, Jaime, and Arya. So it could work.
Yeah,
really? It could work. That's the top three?
Euron's a really popular one now.
I didn't know that. Since when? Since this episode? Or has this been a long time?
No, it's been a while.
But it really picked up this episode, though.
Man, I'm like so unaware of these things. Well, I felt special for 1 minute. Thanks, guys.
Sorry. I mean, but, you know, people have been reaching so far with the Valonqar thing.
No, but Roris, but the way you put it was so eloquent and made a lot more sense than everybody else's combined.
Yeah,
so.
People, aww. You like laid out the plan for it, though, whereas most people, I think, say, Euron's going to do it. Like,
intense.
Concocted a scenario that does make sense for sure. And it fits in with Euron's character.
So in everyone's face, queen bitch at it again.
The one that I am hearing a lot lately, which I don't see at all, is they're like, well, Arya's...
Please tell me the Arya face.
Yeah. Arya's going to kill...
Oh, or yes.
Arya's going to kill Cersei with Jaime's face on. So the Valonqar is actually Arya, but it's still Jaime. And I think people are just double dipping. I think they are.
I agree.
I think they just...
Yeah, no, I don't see that. Because
I think everybody feels like Jaime fits it perfectly, but they still want Arya to do it, so let's concoct a way for her to do it with Jaime.
Yeah. It's not nearly as satisfying if Arya does it.
And can we get this out the way really quick, too? You know, people asking about Arya wearing faces of people that are alive. Jesus.
Wait, who?
Just people, random comments on the internet and stuff. It's like, okay, look, there was a little bit of magic going on with Jack and Agar, I suppose, in the House of Black and White, where she saw her own face. But she was probably fucked up on something. She can't wear a face unless she kills somebody. Can we just get that out of the way?
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to argue there wasn't some serious magic going on. I mean, she lost her.
It could have been, it could have been a glamour or something, what he was doing. It didn't have to be a face thing.
Exactly.
I think people forget that there's multiple ways to change your appearance in A World of Ice and Fire.
Yes. Glamour. That's what it has to be. You know, I'm just helping the writers here find a way to explain it because they won't explain it. They will just...
Yeah, I think it's just going to be, this is what the ability is. I think that's what they did in the show to make it easier versus in the book. We know that when there was big changes like that, it was a glamour. So, I don't know. I just think they're going to make it all in one in the show to make it easier.
Probably.
Yeah, because I feel like it was explained somewhere that faceless men start off by just wearing a face, and then slowly they learn more and more, magic.
Yeah, there must be, like, levels to it.
It's supposed to take years. Yeah, years of being able to master it. And so, yeah, I just think they're trying to make it easier because they don't want to do, like, a 101 in the show, like, oh, you know, this is how this works. It's like, no, this is just faceless man magic. Here we go.
Yeah, they got to do quick bites of stuff. I mean, that's, you know, just for the medium itself. They only have so much time.
But who knows? Maybe, like, the Freys were dumb enough to think that, you know, Arya's body with Walder Frey's face was Walder Frey.
I mean, what if she was wearing stilts and she, like, just kind of packaged herself in the robes and I don't know.
She could have been wearing...
Hey, Walder Frey wasn't that tall, was
he?
No, I don't think so.
But it would be hilarious if he was speaking, like, with Arya's voice.
Yeah. Well, I've heard people complaining about, like, she had to run to place for a while and stuff. He probably just sits there at that fucking table all day anyway. I mean, he probably sleeps there.
And if he's weird at all, do you think anyone's going to call his shit out? No, they're terrified of him.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking orbital man.
Where did she hide his body then?
Pies.
Under the fucking table.
What smell, okay?
If they have to explain every little thing, it's going to... This fucking show would be a million seasons. The body's right. gone.
That's what I mean. You know, people can watch Star Trek and accept that a computer can automatically fix all your problems by talking to it, but then we have to explain where the fucking body is.
Oh, yeah.
You're part of the problem.
How she ran the place for 2 weeks. No, I'm not calling out Val. I'm just saying for these damn snobs.
No. I'm joking with her. But yeah, no, that is a good point that people are, well, what if she didn't know how to do the administration part and they would have found her out? It's like, Jesus, just enjoy the fucking show. Why?
Exactly.
Why do we have to question every little thing? You know,
no, I refuse to enjoy the show that's based off these awesome books just written by a god.
Yeah. I like that thing of there are two types of people, those that can extrapolate, and it's like, come on, fill in the blanks for yourself. We don't need to do it for you. You're a coward for liking the show. You're a coward for liking this episode, and all you care about is subs, and you have no taste. You have no taste. That's what we hear every year. If we like the episode, it's because we're cowards. We want subs. What is it? We don't have good taste.
Trying to get hired by HBO.
Yeah. We're shills. It's just the same bullshit where people want you to think exactly how they think, and if you don't, it threatens them. And they have to freak out on you. But it's just, it's crazy to me. It seems like the same type of people every year that are like, oh, you didn't really like it. Oh, you're pretending. Like, I posted a thing on Instagram, like, oh, a photo of, I was so excited about this episode. And someone was like, oh, yeah, I can tell by that fake smile. You're just putting on a face to... I'm like, or I actually enjoy what I do, and it's a hobby, and if I didn't enjoy it, I wouldn't do it. I don't make enough money off of these videos to sit through it and waste hours and hours and hours of my life every week doing it. So
it's true.
I can make money a lot in a lot better ways with a lot less stress. If you don't like the show, that's fine. That doesn't threaten me either. But it seems like the people that don't like the show are very threatened by people that do, especially YouTubers. And it's like, you know, I started the books, I say this all the time, and I'm getting so fucking sick of saying it, over 16 years ago. So I love the books, obviously. I do almost all book-only history videos. The show does not threaten me in any way. The show does not take away from my enjoyment of the books. It will not take away from my enjoyment of the next book. It's just like The Walking Dead. Love the comics, love the show. Neither one spoils it for me. And I don't look at one and go, oh, fuck it, it's not as good as this.
Yeah, they're different. It's just they're different mediums entirely. So they have to package it differently. And the story eventually has to change. Like people who complain about like Lady Stoneheart or whatever not being in the show, her role right now can be taken by another character, like it kind of is with Arya. We're not really losing anything per se. So like you should forget being a purist, and it can work on TV. You just have to alter it a bit.
Well, and it's crazy to me how Game of Thrones has gotten so many awards for their writing and everything else like that. And then it's this, you hear the same thing over and over again. Oh, it's just because people are sheep. Every time someone does that, I always think, okay, let's take an example, Emergency Awesome. People like shit on his channel a lot and go, only sheep watch it. Even though he's doing really well, last time I checked.
He's got like a million.
And so what it says to me is, you're a sheep. You're only a sheep if you don't like what I like. But then aren't you a sheep if I only like the things that you like and I'm told by you to like? It's like, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Goddamn.
And if you leave one wolf alive.
I was going
alive,
to do that. Damn,
I thought
it
about it too.
If you leave one wolf alive, you know, the sheep are never safe. But it's so boring to me at this point. In my YouTube, I was going to say career, but it's hobby. I will say that anyways, career. Because you hear it so much. Oh, they're sheep. Oh, you're doing it for subs. And it's like, people just try to take away your opinion and your enjoyment because they don't. And it threatens them that someone else doesn't share their opinions. Or they feel like it invalidates you. It absolutely does not invalidate your feelings of disliking a show if we like it. So let's transition to that dagger. And can I just say really quick, because people are getting really confused about this, and I've gotten a few comments to the point where I want to make a misconceptions video, when people are saying, oh, you can't call it the Cat's Paw Dagger because that's not the dagger's name. Okay, so 20 years ago, When these books came out, there was no name for the dagger. There still isn't. So book readers went to calling it the Cat's Paw Dagger. Cat's Paw. Because we had no other name for it, but we wanted to be able to talk with each other about it. So we all realize that it's not called Cat's Paw, but it's called that because of how it was used to in the assassination attempt by the Cat's Paw to try to kill Bran. So I want to put a PSA out there or something for people to understand that this is just what book readers called it to be able to talk about it. And it's what we talk about it now, because if we keep saying, oh, the dagger that was used by the Cat's Paw, oh, the dagger that was used by Bran's assassin, would-be assassin, it's too much of a mouthful. So we just say Cat's Paw.
I want to jump in and support you on this one and add more credibility to it. I know it's not exactly like written canon, but I mean, even the company Valyrian Steel, they make a replica of it and they call it a Cat's Paw. And this is licensed by George R. R. Martin from him. So, I mean, There's credibility to it, whether you like it or not. It's the Cat's Paw Dagger. That's what it is.
Bam.
That happened to me when we were talking about Ed Sheeran. It was in the comments on one of my videos. I said, I was so excited that Ed Sheeran was a Lannister because I'm a Lannister fan. They're like, by the way, Ed Sheeran's not a Lannister. He's a Western man. I was like, okay, damn it. We're splitting hairs here. He's a Lannister soldier, whatever.
<Yeah. laughs> Oh my God. I once got yelled at, you know how Jon is king of the North? But in one of my videos, I said, oh yeah, now that Jon is king of the North, you know, just saying he's the monarch of the North. He's not king of the North. He's king in the North. I'm like, it's actually saying the same thing. You realize
that,
right?
Sir, I want to strangle
you. By saying someone is the Yeah. I'm sorry, what were you going to say about that dagger that was used by that Cat's Paw in the first season?
That's the official name.
The dagger. All right. So the dagger. Okay, you guys probably already read the text around it, but the text around it was just basically talking about the Valyrians decorating their weapons with dragonglass, and we don't know if there's dragonglass on the Cat's Paw Dagger. We know that there's dragonbone, the hilt is dragonbone, and the blade is Valyrian steel, so that was a bit misleading, maybe not. Maybe there's something more there, but I know that the number on the image, like, you know, the figure that should be referenced in the text where that dagger is being talked about, that number wasn't anywhere in the text, so technically it wasn't referenced in that text, so maybe that text wasn't related to it, or maybe the people who were making this prop just didn't know how to make it properly. properly. It wasn't a proper prop. Okay, anyways.
I'm sorry, Val. I like a little seriousness in my podcast. Yeah. Could you stop making everything a joke?
Tone down the jokies.
I'm just happy you considered that a good joke.
I was laughing that you laughed at yourself.
Yeah.
No one cracks you up more than you.
Shut up.
But the most important part of that scene in the book and the text in the book was the text that was talking about how dragonglass can be used to cure illnesses if ingested.
Yeah, that's for sure going to be curing Jorah.
For sure. Especially because we see Jorah right after that scene too. So
yeah, that was scary. Like, I was expecting a hand to like jump out. But then when it was Jorah, I was like, oh, shit.
I know. Oh, that, yeah,
why
it was
a dick about
yeah.
It? I mean, he could have just.
With his diseased arm attacks.
It's like he was bored and he was planning it all day.
But like his diseased arm just lunged at Sam. I was like, yo, don't try to give him freaking grayscale.
Yeah, like, come on, dude. Right.
Isn't it hilarious that everyone thought that whatever was on Jorah's arm was like something that they were putting on him, and he was like, oh, look at his arm, it looks so gross. And it's like, it's just food. Like, it's food. Whatever was on that bowl.
It's the shit soup.
The shit soup, and that was what was on his fingers, yeah.
That's so gross.
God damn.
You had to say that's what was on his fingers.
Yeah, come on, Val. Jesus.
Oh my God.
What?
So, I'm excited. I'm excited about him being cured this season and then going on the mission beyond the wall and dying.
Oh, that'd be terrific.
Exactly.
Wow.
Because I've always had that question about grayscale. What's it in the story for? You know, it just to get cured? That And that's why I speculated a long time ago. One of my tenfold things is like it could have been a, you know, a weapon against the White Walkers, a biological weapon or something. But I don't
know. That's a good idea.
God, I'd love for it to break out for a plague and just start killing people in the Seven Kingdoms. That'd be amazing.
It's winter from the north.
This is like a Disney movie. You're right.
Fucking grayscale from the south.
Maybe. Maybe. No, I got something. Everyone got to say their tinfoil theory, and I want to say mine now. I think...
Welcome. Thank you for being on the Side Effect Podcast. Really glad you enjoyed it.
It was great talking to you all.
I don't like you guys.
Join us next week when we talk about episode 2. Okay, we're listening. She was growling like a cat.
Hey, worked. Are you ready for this? Are you guys ready for this?
I can only get so erect. Go.
Okay. So, you know how you have to ingest the... potentially, you have to ingest this dragon glass. Let's say that when someone with grayscale ingests the dragon glass in some shape, form, or whatever, and it cures them, whenever it comes back out... Couldn't they use that dragon glass, put it on a weapon, and then give grayscale to someone else? Like a White Walker?
That's...
Are you talking about shitting out dragon glass?
I'm combining everything that was on in the text on that book, right? You know, decorating weapons with dragon glass, and then being dragon glass getting ingested. And
decorating your weapons with your feces.
Maybe it would infuse the dragon glass with the grayscale thing. And then...
Bill, you're nasty. You're a nasty person.
Are we talking Jorah shit as a weapon?
Yes. We are, Chris. That's where we're at in this podcast.
Okay. All right. I'm just going to mute myself again and...
No, Chris, come back.
Push back on your tinfoil, Val. Why?
I am done. I swear, I'm done. I'm
Why do they need to do that? We already know Dragon Glass kills White Walkers.
Why do you want more shit in the show?
Grayscale. God damn. It would give them grayscale.
But they wouldn't. They would die.
I'm actually going to start gagging, Vale, at the thought of that. Jesus.
But wouldn't they be dead already before they could even get grayscale?
Well, and who is toting around all this shit?
Exactly. Val is, yeah. Val, you're...
Can you please pick apart my theory? I'm not ready yet.
You're hilarious.
Can you make us a promise that you're going to make a video just about this on your channel?
I need you to,
and then link us to it as soon as you put it up. Yes, please.
You have to. Oops.
All right. Once I figure out how to make the weapon not kill the White Walker before killing it, grayscale.
I'm so excited. You put a condom on it, maybe that'll do it.
Yeah. I think you're onto something. You need to make a series about this.
Yeah.
This is going to help your channel a lot.
About poop theories.
100K. You're on your way.
PSA. You're on your way to 100K. You can do it. You just got to release a three-part series on shitting out dragon glass.
There's that one. And then the ice giant. Or the ice giants.
Oh right, the ice giants.
I want to see a bunch of other whites this season. Like, I want a Kraken one.
big spider.
I'm excited.
Yeah, that's the other thing with the white giants. Can we go ahead and say that too? That was not 1-1.
Yeah,
1-1 was burned at Winterfell.
Yes. Yeah. They would have definitely burned him. And why would he be that far beyond the wall?
Now people are saying that Bran could have been looking into the future, and then he would be past the wall. That he's looking at them going past the wall. So
I did extensive research on this.
With the wrong eye.
Yeah, it was in the wrong eye. The wrong eye was glowing.
Extensive research.
Yeah. I looked at one screenshot and then another screenshot. And then I put arrows pointing to the wrong eye. And then that was my research.
All right. But like, I got to say, like, I don't know how many of you saw my crazy excited tweet that... I call this shit, all right? I made a video about the fucking the story in cloth. We saw the giants' costumes in that video, and no one else called him out. And I was like, dude, they're making giant costumes. What are these for? Are they for white giants? And everyone got pumped up about that. And yeah, I was right. I was so excited. Holy shit.
Can I take the time right now to brag about everything I got right? Is that what we're doing right now?
I was just going to say, I think we were you know, thinking that could have been a season six piece of it, but we didn't really know.
I just want to see how hard we can.
Yeah, that was a possibility. And that's why I was so excited, because it was I was very 50-50 on it. It was one of those predictions that I was like, I don't know if I should say this, but I'm going to do it. And then, yeah.
Okay, so everyone give Vale an applause. Good job.
Woo! Yay. I made a whole bunch of predictions that I'm not talking about.
How many of us think that Bran was actually in one of the... Keeping an eye on...
I was thinking that, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I got
too.
That idea.
Yeah, I think Bran's going to be doing some spying, and eventually the Night King's going to notice, and there's going to be some sort of, like, backlash for it.
We don't know that he can warg a white.
I know. I hope he can. That would be hot.
God damn.
Did we say what our favorite parts of the episode? Because actually my favorite part was Arya being a cold stone killer.
I'll just say that I think I liked it all. I enjoyed it all. There were a couple little nitpicky things, but it was great. I love the cold opening with Arya, but I just love the Hound. I loved him. And Euron, Tom, actually.
He was a lot better. Euron was a lot better.
Oh, he's terrific.
Anyone else?
Three.
Yeah, that was your favorite part?
Yeah.
K-Bone? Yes. K-Bone was your favorite part?
The Euron thing. Definitely.
Euron?
It was somewhere between Euron and Lyanna, truthfully. I loved the Lyanna thing.
Can I bitch really quick? I mean, my name is Bitch, so just bitch really quick.
Go ahead.
Because we were talking about Dragonglass, and I forgot to talk about this. Why did Sam all of a sudden remember Stannis said he had tons of Dragonglass on Dragonstone? What the fuck was that about?
That was the weirdest thing. That really threw me off, too.
Yeah, a lot of people complain about that, too. Yeah, like, wait a minute. They didn't even remember him saying it, but he did say what Stannis had told me, but then he never finished his sentence.
It's like, when do you know Stannis to exaggerate or lie about shit? Like, you should have been like, oh, yeah, I remember he said that. Okay.
Yeah, Stannis is like the most credible fucking character in the entire show.
Yeah, that was crazy to me. It's so true. I feel like why they did it was just to have an excuse for Jon to want to head to Dragonstone even more.
Probably. I mean, yeah, I mean, the whole point of him going to the Citadel and becoming a new Maester is to figure out a way to fight the White Walkers. And Sam knows better than probably anyone that Dragonglass is going to do that. And somehow he has this information and totally botches it. Yeah, I agree.
Well, no, everyone knows this already. Like, I mean, that's the thing. Like, everyone in the Night's Watch knows that Dragonglass is what they need. And now I remember there was a scene way back, I think it was in season 5, that where Sam and John were talking to each other, and Sam tells him, you know, we need Dragonglass, or there's a, what is it? Like, yeah, something like, we need Dragonglass, and then John said, yeah, we would need a mountain of it. Mm-hmm. And then that's why he used the same wording, it's like, there's a mountain of it in Dragonstone. But yeah, he should have believed Stannis, like, that was just weird.
It was stupid.
I want to put the blame on Stannis, too, when Stannis was told... Hey, by the way, we need this stuff. And he looks at it and goes, oh, yeah. Puts it down and never thinks about it again. The savior of the realm.
Well, they should have. Yeah, he was busy with other shit, though. They should have remembered that. So that was just a weird thing.
Couldn't have gotten on the phone and said, yo, guys, back at Dragonstone. Remember that mountain of Dragonglass? Can we start mining it, please? Like, come on. All the Dragonglass has been just completely... bundled. It should have been bad. It's bad.
So do you?
Yeah,
think
it should have been an instant raven, you know, to Dragonstone, since he still held the castle.
Yeah.
Everyone needs to do better. That's what we learned about them with Dragonglass. No, that's a great point. I actually forgot about that.
Oh, and the only other thing I want to point out that was cool that Ed Sheeran sung the song from A Storm of Swords.
Oh yeah. Gold Hands or Golden Hands or something?
Yeah, Hand of Gold or whatever.
The song about Tyrion and Shae.
Yeah, but it's not going to... I doubt Tyrion has heard it in the show, and it's not going to have the same meaning because Shae's already dead, but that was...
Oh, no,
cool.
Not at all. But people were saying that it might be related to Jaime.
Oh, yeah.
Because it fits him now, yeah.
I like it. I approve.
I could dig that.
Mm-hmm. And then the way that Ed Sheeran said it's a new one might be like a play on words for that.
My new album.
Well, not a play on words, but like kind of like a nod to the viewers that is like, yeah, the song was in the books, but this time new it's year. For Jamie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah. Okay. So I think the one thing is we're going to have a goddamn sea battle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, queen.
Yes.
Anyone else?
Yes, bitch. Yes.
Yes. Yes, you queen, bitch. Anyone else think something big going to happen next episode?
Yes, I think Bran is going to warg Hodor, and he's going to, I mean, not Hodor, he's going to warg 1-1 the white, and he's going to go to Dragonstone and carry all the dragonglass back himself.
Okay, so Chris is an asshole. Moving on. Who's next?
Holy shit.
Well, it looks like Nymeria is coming back.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Someone who's been gone. Someone's been gone even longer than Gendry. Well, even if that's...
I'm not 100% not, sure that it is. It might be another wolf that Nymeria has to run.
If it's not, it must be a wolf from her pack.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, the coloring was a little off, I thought.
Yeah,
I'm thinking it's a wolf that threatens Arya, and then Nymeria kind of saves her from that.
And is like, hey, bitch, back off.
I like it.
And then
it
convinces her to go north. Oh, Chris, with your 1-1 theory, is it going to be like a pile of ashes? Was it 1-1 burned?
Exactly. He's going to he's going to bring them back together with his magic.
Oh, shit.
And Danny's going to warp.
That would actually be amazing to watch those ashes reform into a giant.
Exactly.
All right. Chris, this is 100% confirmed. God. I cannot wait for this Sunday.
The thing that I'm most excited to see, well, not most excited to see because all the cool things were already taken by you guys, but we will finally find out what the hell Littlefinger said to Jon in the crypts.
Oh, for the throat hug. Oh my God, I can't wait for the throat hug.
Yeah.
You're a funny man, aren't you?
I will predict this too, though. Once that throat hug's over, he will repeat that fucking line that he said to Ned in season 2.
Oh my God, yeah. They'd be so great.
They love their line callbacks.
Oh my God,
they?
Yeah.
Yeah, they really yes. do.
Then he's going to follow it up with quick temper, slow minds.
Yeah, that's what I mean, exactly.
It's like, ah, the Starks, quick temper, slow minds. He's the greatest. I am super excited for that this whole time. Because like so many people speculate, like, oh, it's something around Lyanna because they're down there. And I really want to know what just set Jon off. Because that's, I don't know if you've ever seen Jon.
Yeah, I think they're just there for the tease of Lyanna. I don't think it's going to be related to that.
Agreed.
But anyway.
All right, so it's been out for like a week or so, and unfortunately, we didn't get to talk about it with all the Game of Thrones stuff, but Spider-Man Homecoming just came out recently, which is the biggest new addition to the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And I gotta say, me personally, when I watched it, pretty big fan. A lot of hype going into it, but I was a pretty big fan. Maybe the best single Spider-Man movie that they have produced so far. It was so good. I don't know. What are some other people thinking? Views on it?
I thought it was all right.
Really?
And I feel bad. I feel bad because I've heard nonstop raving about it and great reviews, and I'm a huge Spider-Man fan. I started with his original comics and worked all the way through it, so I'm huge on Spider-Man, and I don't know why. I want to see it again because I'm wondering if maybe I just was stressed about the Game of Thrones season and preparing for it so that I couldn't enjoy it, but I walked out of it and I was like, I just fucking spider sense. It felt like there was just...
I agree with that.
I don't know.
For sure.
Yeah, spider sense.
I was saying when we were talking about it earlier, I was like, I remember liking it, but I don't remember a lot about it now, but being a week out. But I will say that I think he was by far the best Peter Parker.
Yeah, I would agree with that, definitely.
Hell yeah. He was so cute!
I know.
Holy crap, he was so cute!
Yeah, and maybe I had a hard time getting past the spider sense bothered me, and then no one thinks that this is, like, not a big deal. It is a big deal. I'm really pissed off that Mary Jane isn't Mary Jane, it's Michelle, and Mary Jane isn't a redhead. Like, redheads get such shit for representation. And even when there's a redhead character, we're seeing nowadays that in the movies and the shows, they're just changing it to a more attractive, I guess, hair color. So for me, it was just a bummer. And when people try to make, they're like, ooh, it's because people are racist. It's like, well, no, it's because redheads make up about less than 2% of the population. And it's kind of cool when we actually get represented as badass characters.
Yeah.
Well, which, that's just PC stuff there, but regardless, it's not even supposed to be Mary Jane yet at that age. It's supposed to be Stacy Gwynn.
Yeah, or
you're
Gwen
right.
Stacy.
You're right.
No, I'm sorry, Gwen Stacy. Yes.
Yeah. Did we have a Gwen in that movie? God, why am I forgetting now?
Not that I remember.
No.
There was no Gwen.
Not at all.
There wasn't like a one-off character or anything that was like, oh, hey, Gwen. Nothing.
No, I didn't hear any of that.
No.
That's the name that would have stood out.
And like, did they name her Michelle as like to throw us off? Like, oh, we thought it was Mary Jane, but her name's Michelle.
Absolutely.
And then at the end, where she's like, oh, my friends call me MJ, and I'm like, that was so fucking.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, I didn't dig that either. Hey, she shouldn't be mentioned yet anyway.
They wanted to hit you with that later on to be like, oh, look at that, nice little MJ is here after all. I mean,
there was a couple characters in there that did that too. Even like Flash. Flash is like tall, blonde-haired athlete, you know, white as shit, and they turned him into part of the nerd group and maybe Hispanic, I guess.
Well, I didn't think he was part of the nerd group, though. The Flash in the movie.
Who? He's not in the comics. Hell no. No, he ain't nothing like that.
I know he's not exactly the same guy. I mean, he's not even like the Flash in the first Spider-Man movie with Tobey Maguire. But I don't get me wrong. I think he was lesser. They toned him down. But I don't think he was like, I actually thought interesting. My one friend who is of an Indian descent, she knows very little about Spider-Man, but she was thrilled to see like a school bully that was of that background. And I know that sounds weird, but seldom do you see in any movie where like the school bully is like an Indian guy, you know, picking on some like the average random white dude. And that was from a representation standpoint.
I mean, that's basically what they were doing, was trying to get more representation.
I'd argue that.
Did a lot.
I was just bitching about how, like, I can see the Walking Dead comics, Walking Dead show, and stuff like that. And with the Spider-Man movie, when I go in and see, like, Doctor Strange, same way, I've read all his comics, and going into Doctor Strange, I was on its own merit. It's just, for some reason, Spider-Man just as much as I thought it would. It was just, it was a good movie, but it wasn't, like, outstanding. Like, I would say Captain America Winter Soldier was, where I walked out of that, and I was like, oh, my God, I need to see this, like, 20 more times right now.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, it might have been part of the hype, too, though. I don't know. I felt kind of the same way, but I dug Spider-Man. I dug the Peter Parker. I like the suit. I don't know if I love the Tony Stark thing coming in and everything's so techie. I like how he had to go back to pajamas for a while, so I don't know.
Oh, my God. Speaking of Tony, my favorite part is, well, one, you know, Tony was trying to kind of make up for the shit father he felt he had, and he was trying to, you know, use Peter to kind of be the dad he wanted. But I love when Peter yells at him on top of the building and goes, you don't even care if you were here, you'd be here in person. And he steps out of the suit and Tony is actually there. And you have this kid who can fucking throw a bus if he wants to, is afraid of this human man walking out of a suit because there's so much like respect there.
Mm-hmm.
I loved that moment. And that Tony really, he's trying to be better than his father and be the father that, you know, he wanted. But he's still fucking up doing it. Didn't have that role model there in that way.
Yeah, no, I that
also true. Did. Oh, sorry.
No, I agree.
As I was gonna say, did anyone expect to see Pepper Potts?
No,
I thought she was done with the cinematic universe.
I did too.
Like,
yeah, she's awesome.
That was amazing. I was so hyped. It's so funny in this movie of seeing these awesome characters. And then it was Pepper Potts, where I was like, oh, man.
Yeah.
Redhead representation.
Of all the characters to be excited about, you go, oh, my God, Pepper's back. Awesome.
The Shocker representation was kind of shitty, but that's because, you know, those of us who know the comics, it's like, what the fuck was that? Why'd you even throw him in there? Anyway, I will definitely give homage to Mr. Beetlejuice, man, that motherfucker. I love him and anything he does, I really do. I think he's a phenomenal
Michael Keaton's
fucking
the best.
Actor. Yeah, whatever he touches, man. He's got a new movie coming out. I can't remember the name of it. I did want to throw it out there, but it looks fucking awesome as well, where he's like a mentor hitman. And I mean, just everything he does, I love. I do. I think he did the best he could with this character, and I love it.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I feel like we should be applauding them for is the fact that they took that villain, maybe not the best Spider-Man villain.
Oh, no way.
And they worked shit. They worked.
Hell yeah.
I was amazed what they did with that villain. It was very compelling. So yeah. Kudos to them for that.
When I heard they were when I heard they were picking him, I was like, the kook of the bird suit. Like, I don't think that's gonna work. Okay, we'll see, but I mean, you're totally right. They found a way to make it look logical. I mean, hell, if we buy into Falcon, I guess why not buy into Vulture? It was great, and I'm gonna make a bold statement. He may be the best villain in the MCU. It may have been the best performance.
I don't know about that.
Hear me out. It may have been the best performance of anyone. Now, obviously, Loki is probably still number one, but on a single movie basis, man, Michael Keaton's representation was super good.
Yeah, well, I liked how it was more realistic of him becoming Vulture. You know, like he had a contract. They kind of tied into the other Civil War movie about cleaning up the damn place. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of cool.
It made sense.
Because we know they've done studies where they show what a family, a father will do, especially mothers will too, but what fathers will feed their family and make sure that their family is taken care of. And it's a very slippery to stealing and stuff like that and hurting other people because you're trying to protect your family. So I like that they added that in there. And I don't know why I was so shocked, because I thought for sure once he's going to figure out that Peter is a teenager, a 15-year-old boy, and then our Spider-Man is, and he's not going to be able to kill him. But he was still willing to do it to protect himself and his family.
Totally.
I was like, man, that's intense when you know it's a 15-year-old boy and you're still willing to straight up murder him.
Do you think it was
to keep your family safe?
Did you expect it to be more like the first Spider-Man movie where Norman Osborn basically figured it out and didn't kill Peter right away?
Yeah. So I thought it was going to be something like you realize this person's my own daughter's age. How could I kill someone my own daughter's age? For some empathy. But no, man, he was still fucking cold. Like, I will kill you. I was like, damn.
You got to give him credit.
Because the oh shit moment for me in that entire movie, maybe it was just me. I didn't see that coming, and I usually catch shit. I had no idea he was going to be her. I was like, holy shit.
Oh, yeah.
You fuckers, you got me. You got me.
That was a good one.
Okay, and that too. Is he wasn't a superhero in that moment, Peter. Like, you could just see the same uncomfortableness and fear we felt.
Yeah.
He was just reflecting, being back there, and just... because he shouldn't be the awesome hero that knows exactly what to do. He's still a kid where he's sitting there going, oh, shit, oh, shit, oh, shit.
Mm-hmm.
Which is also why I really liked when he got caught under the rubble, remember? And he started crying, like, somebody help me. To me... that kind of drew me back and made me realize this is a kid in a suit, as powerful as he is, when he's like, it sounded like he was sobbing at one point, like, please help me. And
absolutely.
You remember this as a kid being given this great responsibility. I had to throw that in there. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that made me feel very claustrophobic.
Yeah.
Yeah, I am claustrophobic. So
I did about this Tom Holland. I really am. I think he's going to grow into this character. And I mean, I'm not wrong here, but I think he's going to be the best Spider-Man we've gotten yet. I mean, they're kind of doing by going back. Maybe they're doing a little shuffling about, you know, genders and ages and all that stuff and ethnicity. But you know the comic well. But I'm okay with it. But if they do Tom Holland, he'd be killed. And I am. You know what?
The gender shuffling and the race shuffling doesn't bother me. That doesn't bother me. The only thing that's only thing, but like, if you grow up as a redhead, you know how much that's like the soulless shit now. And like, so, and I mean, there's entire sites dedicated to eradication of redheads. Like, so to be represented, be like this high desirable character or like a badass character with Daredevil, because he's not a redhead like he should be. Really cool to see, and it, like, you're drawn to the character. The very first book I was, because it was a redhead hero, and all of a sudden it was this woman that was like these adventures and stuff. So, like, that's the only thing that bothers me. Just been a fucking redhead if you want to go for me, and she could have been a different race. I don't give a shit. Just make her a redhead. God. I'm sorry. That was my redhead rant that I went back into.
It's an issue that's very important to you, and that's, I think you're kind of signifying why some of these changes have been made, particularly with, you know, people of color, is because it, frankly, it kind of is important. It's just trying to validate people's experiences and try to make it so that people don't think that New York's like the, like a high school in New York City isn't full of just white people. It's,
yeah,
a very,
that is always kind of weird when it's these populated cities and just everyone there is white. You're like,
yeah,
what?
That's not realistic in any way. I mean, come on. So, I mean, yeah, so I get past that too. I thought, like, I appreciated it. I thought it was cool, but I didn't care. I didn't think too much about it. I mean, everyone got past Nick Fury, so no big deal.
Yeah, but Nick Fury, man. Yeah, see, that didn't bother me, the fact that Nick Fury was Samuel Jackson, because it was a fabulous fit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it
and
worked.
He brought life to that character. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And so the race and gender changes generally don't, like, it's pandering.
Yeah.
Or it's a fucking redhead. Then that bothers me.
Or if it's red hair, then that's...
Preserve the redhead. Preserve the redhead.
Red, draw the line.
That Ginger Daredevil hate. Was bullshit. That Daredevil was bullshit. He should have had red hair in the show. Fuck those people. Fuck you, Marvel. Did you hear
Another
that?
Another reason to hate Ben Affleck, too, because he didn't have it either. Then
was there any moment in this movie that anybody absolutely fucking hated? Because there was one.
Yeah, the spider sense. The spider sense bullshit.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree. The lack of spider sense was crazy.
I would put that number two. I didn't give it as much thought as this other one, where my dumb ass sat there, you know, just like Guardians of the Galaxy, where we got five fucking damn little scenes at the end, and I sat there all the way to the end and watched this Captain America bullshit. I wanted to pull him through the screen and choke that motherfucker.
That was amazing. I love the scene in the gym where he's like, oh, I guess he's a war criminal now.
What I think Tarzan's going for.
I'm talking about the very end of the movie. Sat through all the credits, he got on there and trolled
patience.
The fuck out of everybody. And
patience.
I was like,
patience is important. How many Yeah, that was awesome.
I because, I mean, like, what I always do is I go to the movie theater. I don't think about how many after credit scenes are. And while I'm sitting there, after I see the first one, I Google to see if there's any more. And I saw that there's going to be a Cap one that is a deal, and I just... I don't know. I guess I didn't expect anything mind-blowing. I mean, the first one was good, though. So you have to... I mean, we have to comment on that. It's cool. It's like they're setting up a Sinister Six.
Yeah, I like how he... yeah, and I like how he wasn't willing to rat out Peter. Like, it was a respect thing. Like, I kind of like how he saved his daughter earlier in the film, and then he was like, hey, I owe you this, so I'm not going to outright kill you. And then again, when he saved his life, you know, it was kind of an honor system that he didn't rat him out.
Yeah.
Or he could just be waiting to get out himself and kill him.
So
either way.
Let me ask you this. Is that supposed to be...
That's him.
Okay.
For sure. I like it because it does... I mean, well, you could argue the villain for the second one, but I'm really hoping they do push that Sinister Six line.
I was wondering if that's where they were going with that.
As long as they don't do what they did in the last two, like, Earth's franchise, end up having, like, three villains in one movie. It's just, it's a terrible idea. Don't do that. Just do one or two.
Yeah, when there's just too much shit.
Like Rhino. Rhino was so embarrassing in the last Spider-Man. And you had a really good actor, Paul Giamatti. Yes, I liked that after credit with Scorpion in there. And again, like Rosh just said, when he wouldn't give up that info, that's like, whoa, I can't really hate this guy. Because what's interesting is both the protagonist and the antagonist, they're so incredibly relatable in aspects of life. You know, like you said earlier about Peter Parker being trapped under all that stuff. And then you seeing him have a really vulnerable moment where he's not a superhero and he's crying and all that kind of stuff. That's super relatable. And he had to overcome that. And then with Michael Keaton, the whole fighting, you know, for his daughter and then, you know, showing appreciation for life being saved. It's a human thing. It was great.
What I really like is it was so true to the early comics and still Fireman always got his ass handed to him, especially in the beginning. He was constantly shit beaten out of him, and he'd have to figure out how to outsmart the villains. Like, that was just a common theme. And they really started it off right. And, like, it gets to the point where so many horrible things happen to him, where Peter admits that the only way he knows that he's still sane because of all the awful things is that he's able to laugh and joke around. Mm. So the fact that they were being so true to that, where he was just getting the shit knocked out of him by his villains in the first film, was really cool to me.
Yeah, I definitely appreciated that as well. I mean, I admit it's one of the reasons why Spider-Man isn't one of my favorites. I'm not impressed by him as a superhero. Like, he's too relatable in a weird way, because I'm like, I mean, I know I would lose, but, like, I know it's not the same as, like, me going up against Thor. I would get vaporized by Thor. Spider-Man, in my mind, I feel like I have a shot.
So the next time we see Spider-Man is going to be Infinity War. So there ain't going to be no movie until after that.
Oh, really?
I believe so.
I know he's on set for that. I don't know. I guess that's, like, what, 2018?
Yeah, absolutely, yep.
And then another one in 19. Is there a Spider-Man movie between the two, or do they not do the part two?
I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, I'm sure they're gonna do
it. I don't think there's one until after both Infinity Wars.
Oh, okay.
I believe that's correct.
That was one of the coolest pictures, seeing Iron Man, Star Lord, and Spider-Man all together on set. Whoa!
But I'll just throw one little nitpicky thing in here. Tarzan, you were asking about things that we didn't like. The boat scene with the ferry was total bullshit. It would have fell apart and been gone in a heartbeat. Yeah. I mean, come on, man.
Yeah. I agree with that. Some suspension of disbelief, I guess, though.
Yeah, I mean, just saying, the bottom would have been flooded, have been out. Yeah.
It's amazing how it got split in half and it's just staying up in two halves.
It's still staying up on the water.
It bobbed like a cork.
Wait, I had a question. Sure. So at the end, when is offered the new suit and stuff, that was legit, right? And he thought he totally thought it wasn't.
It was
and
legit.
Then Tony just let him think it wasn't.
Yeah, it was legit. That's awesome.
Yeah, that was funny.
Tried to give him the Iron Spider suit.
You'll see that suit in Infinity Wars for sure.
Yeah,
I did read. I felt like I read something like I guess they showed footage at one of the cons or something and about Infinity War and how it opens and what the description is and everything. And for some reason, it sounded like Spider-Man may have had that suit. I don't know, though. This is just, I don't even know if it's legitimate. Totally. It looked like it was a pretty flipping cool. If I were him, I don't know if I would have said no to that one.
Vale? Anything to add? I told you I wanted a full report on Spider-Man.
Oh, damn it. dude, seriously, all I had to say about the movie is that the guy is cute as a button.
Aww. Oh, you got it.
Understood.
What
the fuck is cute about a button?
Can we get into a special section where it's like the what did Vale think about this section, and then that's all she says. I just think he's cute as a button.
Chris, that was brilliant. What's so cute about a button? I don't get it.
I've never understood that. I don't get it.
No, I get it.
I come from the South. I've heard it since I was born. I've just never gotten it.
You can get a really tiny button.
Oh, those tiny buttons are cute.
Well, yeah, they
anything
are.
Anything tiny is cute. Oh, so why do we say button?
Right. And sometimes they look like they have a little face on them with a little two dots in the middle. Yeah. Oh.
Okay.
Okay, I was gonna say like the kid's voice was so high pitched. It was awesome. I don't know. Like
it's like
it really reminded me
of a teenager
that he was 15.
Yeah, it was like the first Spider-Man in the movies, the big screen, that actually looked like he legitimately was in high school and a kid. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I love that.
Because Tobey was like a little pipsqueak, but he didn't look like a 15-year-old. You know, he didn't look like senior year, whatever. I didn't buy it, but this kid, I definitely bought this was a 15-year-old. How old is he? His name's Tom Holland.
Yeah,
slightly 15. I think 16 or 17.
Oh my god, he's 20. He's 21.
Holy shit, I was way off.
Whoa.
Wait, he's 21. I could have sworn that his voice was gonna get deeper, dude. But that's too. change.
Oh, shit. One thing I'll add really quick before we wrap this up, because we're have an issue with not seeing an actual spider bite, the actual origin.
No.
I'm glad they skipped it.
Why is it that I didn't like his friend? Everyone thought his friend was the best part of the film, and I was just like, God, you're so overdone. Please just stop. You're trying to be like that edgy, funny character that's so fucking random, and it's like, I'm so tired of that character.
I agree. That's the same thing, well, not edgy, but like that weird like sidekick, kind of like an Ant-Man, where the dude was just there too much, and I was like, okay, I get that you're kind of the funny one, I guess, but I want to focus on that guy, Spider-Man.
The movie kicked me in.
What?
In that.
Why?
She found the speed.
Yeah. Hon, we want to hear why.
Let's talk about your balls. Go ahead.
Because when the guys were going to that girl's house to party. And I'm like, how is it always, like, in every fucking movie, all of these high schoolers have the coolest and, like, the most expensive house, and, like, how the fuck? And, like, they're just partying with, like, no one there, and, like, no one cares, and, like, they have, like, the best setup. Then it was explained later that it was the girl from, you know, the dad.
The vulture.
The dad was the villain, the millionaire villain. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
It got explained, so I was like, damn, okay. Okay, good job, movie. Good job.
good job, movie.
And that has been your movie corner with Vale filling us in.
All right, so last week, as you might remember, and the question was, what is the Queen's Justice going to be? And we allowed you guys to answer with jokes and anything you could think of. And you guys gave some very interesting answers. For example, like Mark. So Mark is saying that Cersei's justice is going to serve her like we serve in this world to someone.
In a fancy glass.
Oh. I was like, I don't know. I never had absinthe. I don't know. Like
I almost had absinthe once, and then my friend bailed. He was like, no, I don't want to. Okay. Aconda! Aconda? It should be Aconda,
yeah, that's
right?
What I say.
Anyway, so they said, if Danny would he burp fire after? You're asking us a question? I thought you were answering the question. I am so This game is not going to for you,
answer our question with a question. Damn it, you're
let me see. Thunderclap said anyone that upsets Cersei will be getting the game and ill. Rarus can explain.
Why does it have to be Cersei?
Thunderclap is anyone that upsets Cersei.
Is the amazing Thunderclap, and he puts on your guys' channel, you need and pin to the top.
Oh,
okay. I love Thunderclap. I think he's been with me for years. He always amuses me. He never seems to amuse me.
I like to relate the name, the username to the picture.
Bird, if I remember correctly, like a bird with the wings spread out, right, Thunderclap?
Yeah, it is. And then I always picture the bird clapping with its wings because it's a...
Thunderclap being a druid's World of Warcraft. That's not right.
Oh, yeah.
There, Chris with the knowledge.
I used to play a druid, man.
Oh, I was always the priest. I'm boring priest. I like being the healer, though. You depend on me. Yeah. Don't piss me off.
Heal the world.
But Thunderclap, Boris does not want to explain that
I
to us.
I do not want to.
We got two more. We got Matt saying that the Queen's Justice will be the okay. Lots and lots of rape. All right, cool, man. Well, that's what
Daenerys said.
Can't deny that.
Yeah.
Come on. I don't
for it at first. and then she stopped liking it. I mean,
what?
When
Drogo,
what?
Holy shit, don't freak out! Bill. Don't freak out on me, all right? That came out very wrong. All I'm saying is, when Drogo said that he was going to rape everyone, it's because what they do. He was saying that, you know, I'm going to destroy their castles and I'm going to rape all their women, and that's what he was. And Daenerys was just like really proud of him. Just,
oh,
like,
she was so, yeah, she was soaking fucking wet during that episode. She was
right.
She was. Did you? She was obviously turned on at that speech.
Oh, she was. She was. So moving on to Mimi. We got Mimi in the comments. Tarzan, Mimi's here.
Oh, Mimi.
Oh, awesome. Mimi, yeah. Got fan.
She's awesome. Mm-hmm. She's awesome.
Mimi got fan. She was saying, I think the justice is twofold. The Tarleys and the Sand Snakes.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Justice.
Always more titles.
Okay, so our for the week is, what character do you think it's going to be the first, and possibly in the so in the comment below, please tell us who you think will be the first name character guy.
With the hashtag
Q, so we know it's your answer to the question because we're lame.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have to search through.
Yeah, don't post that shit after that Sunday, full. You fuckers.
Yeah, times
comment section of the YouTube channel, that is, because we do have this thing on other platforms.
That's right. Yeah, it's going to be fun. I'm very curious to see what people come, because it's probably going to be fairly related to the gift, assuming that it comes.
Well, something will be coming episode two.
Oh, it's coming.
It's already here. I cannot wait for it to snow in that map room, because, you know, there's no roof over it. Did you know?
They use acrylic paint.
It's going to be snowing in that map room. It's going to be awesome.
The acrylic paint, so it's all going to wash away.
Yeah, it'd be funny if it was water cover.
What a fucking dumbass. I can see that happening.
You're the Spider-Man from YouTube.
Thank you for listening to the Side Effect Podcast.
And winter is coming.
For more information or to reach out, please visit the Side Effect Podcast. Tune in next to experience more of the Side Effect.
The Side Effect.